It's here and now. And as we mentioned, I'm broadcasting today from Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, my hometown and the campus of the University of Illinois. And one of the most interesting features of this campus is a field, an experimental field. It's the oldest one in the United States. It was established back in 1876. It's called the Morrow Plots. And we've taken a little field trip to that field with Robert Dunker, who's an agronomist and the superintendent of the Crop Sciences Research and Education Center at the University of Illinois. Robert Dunker, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you much, Jeremy. Glad you could come.
Well, so why was this crop established back in 1876?
Well, one of the things is that they wanted to study the effects, long-term effects on soil of intensive cropping and cropping rotation systems. The concept back then was that these soils are so fertile that you can intensively crop them without putting any nutrients back into the soil. So they started looking at different rotation systems and what the effects were over time. And so from 1876 until 1904, there was never any fertilizer put on any of the Morrow plots.
Just to find out what that would do to the crop.
Well, they soon found out that, yes, these are very fertile soils, but you have to do good stewardship on the soils. You do have to, return nutrients back into the soil that the crop takes during its growing period, because they were also removing all of the crop. And so they were taking everything off of the crop and just relying on the soil itself to supply all the nutrients. And over that almost 30-year period, they did decline in soil fertility.
And after that, there was another more than 100 years of history of these plots. What happened in the second period?
In 1904, they started putting an application back in of manure, lime, and phosphate, which added fertility back into the soil. And again, keeping the same rotations, we've had these rotations, a one-year rotation, a two-year rotation, a three-year rotation since the beginning. And they found out that, yes, by applying manure, lime, and phosphate, they were able to maintain the fertility for the yields that they were getting at that time. Now, it also showed that there was a difference of response to the different rotations. Plot one has been in continuous corn since 1876, no other crop, so it was a monoculture. And plot five, which is the two-year rotation, originally was a corn and oats rotation. And the third plot was a three-year rotation of corn, oats, and alfalfa legume. On average, the continuous corn plot yielded the lowest. And the two-year rotation was the middle-ranking treatment. But the three-year rotation was always the highest. And it's only in every 6 years that all of these plots are in corn. So that's when we can put basically a dot on the graph, because when we're in a uniform crop, then we can measure what the effects are over time.
You can see which corn is growing better if all of the crops have corn at that time.
That's right.
So it's one thing to say that this is the oldest experimental field in the United States, but how important has it been for our understanding of agriculture in this country?
Well, it has been very important initially. You know, if we were going to design an experiment today, it would look very much different than the Morrow plots. And the reason I say that is that, you know, these were originally three big plots that have been subdivided into little treatments. But from the concept of experimentation, there's really no replication and no randomization, which you really need to run an experiment statistically within a year. So we're still gaining meaningful information, but it has to be a trend over time to take a look at how these are affecting the soil quality within those individual treatments.
And it must be pretty valuable to have over 100 years of data to look at in the same crops.
Yeah, it's really neat is what it is. And I have books out at my center where all the scientists that have worked in here, it's a handwritten ledger of all the things that have been done in Morrow plots. And there have been a lot of great scientists that have done work in this that, you know, it's really kind of an honor to work in here, because you're carrying on something, a tradition that was started so long ago. It's a very neat experiment that still will tell us important things over the long term.
What do you think is the most important thing that we've learned from the Morrow plots?
Well, I think one of the things is that soil quality is something that you have to work at. Soils are naturally developing systems, but if you don't put the nutrients back in or you don't have a good system to maintain soil quality, then the production will go down. And as we think about feeding the world in the future, our soil is one of the most important resources that we have. And the fact that we know that it takes fertilizer to meet our maximum production, and that we're going to need that in order to carry forward to feed the large population as it gets bigger.
Now, there is a very interesting feature here in front of us, and it looks like just two little stumps of a building. But what it really is the undergraduate library, part of one of the largest libraries in the world, and it's all underground. And the theory is that they did that because they didn't want to cast a shadow on the Moro plots. Is that true?
Well, I say that it is. I've never heard that in writing, but it's very obvious that if we had an undergraduate library that was as tall as the main library to the west, that we really would have significant shading on the Moro plots. And this was built before I actually came to the university, but I've always heard that it's three stories underground, not to cast additional shade on the Moro plots. And that's saying we also have another building to the east, which is the Institute for Genomic Biology. The roof line on that has also been built so it doesn't cast additional shade on the Moro plots. There was a study looking at sun angles, et cetera, during the growing season. It said, okay, we're going to put this here, but we're not going to have any kind of an effect on the Moro plots themselves.
And it's not as if these plots are far off in some distant corner of the campus. This is right in the center.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of campus. And, you know, this whole area around the Moro plots originally was University of Illinois agricultural fields, even where the quadrangle is, where Davenport Hall, the first College of Agricultural building, all of that area around there was initially experimental plots. And this is all that's remaining, these three plots of that farm.
Robert Dunker is an agronomist and superintendent of the Crop Sciences Research and Education Center at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Mr. Dunker, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Well, old Stratford has its barn, and old Harvard has its yard, and Annapolis has midshipmen who tie knots. But whatever you compare, there is nothing quite so fair as our genuine number one homegrown Moro plots. Oh, you can't throw shade on the corn. It'll die as sure as you're born. No, sir, we don't mess around on our berries underground, because you can't throw shade on the corn.
And we're listening here to the University of Illinois a cappella group, The Other Guys, singing their song, The Moro Plots.
And at Michigan, they're the champions of the West. San Francisco's got its quakes. Minnesota's got its lakes. But the Moro Plots in Illinois are best.
Our best!
Oh, you can't throw shade on the corn. It'll die as sure as you're born. No, sir, we don't mess around on the berries underground, because you can't throw shade on the corn.
And you can see a picture of the Moro Plots at our website, hereandnow.org. This is Here and Now.